Now, I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles again to the second book of Chronicles and to chapter 34 of the second book of Chronicles. Second Chronicles, chapter 34. And we're going to read from the first verse of the chapter. Second Chronicles, chapter 34, beginning our reading at verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, when he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Baalim in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces, and made dust of them, and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed upon them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim, and Simeon even unto Naphtali, and their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin. And they returned to Jerusalem, and they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and the builders gave they it to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam, of the sons of the Kohathites, to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill themselves, skill of instruments of music. And they were over the bearers of burdens, and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service, and of the Levites that were scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king, and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And Hilkiah commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, the servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel, and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, and that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, and heardst his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, said the Lord, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the word, the king, word again. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing through the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. Can we unite together at the throne of grace in prayer? Our loving and our gracious God, we thank thee that we can gather at thy feet again, and we thank thee for its the power of thy word. We thank thee, Lord, that in that day the word of God was found and the house of God was opened. And we pray, Lord, that as we seek to open the house of God again, that thou wouldst come and bless us, that thou wouldst not say that we have forsaken thy law, but Lord, that thou wouldst find that indeed we have clung and adhered to thy precious word. Bless us now, we pray, and shut us in with thyself, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. King Josiah ruled over the kingdom of Judah from 640 BC to 609 BC. He was the last godly king of Judah. And in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 2, it says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. He came to the throne when he was only 8 years of age, and given the climate that he lived in and the atmosphere that he was brought up in, he proved the expectations wrong and became a man who sought after God and sought to glorify the Lord in what he did and in the rule of his land. Josiah's father was a man by the name of Amnon, and we read in 2 Kings 21 and 20 what it says about him. It says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And in verse 22 of the same chapter, it goes on to say that he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. And he was fully involved in the worship of the carved idols, and the spiritism and the human sacrifice that went with these false religions, and the astrology, and all of the witchcraft, divination, all of these things were the forte of Josiah's father. He was a thoroughly ungodly man, and that's the kind of influence that Josiah would have been brought up in. There were many disadvantages with his upbringing, many barriers. And yet it says that when Josiah came to the throne, even at a young age, that he did that which was right. in the sight of the Lord. And his life shines out in the midst of darkness. And we read that when he was, he became king at 8 years of age. And it says that when he was 16 years of age, he began to seek after the Lord and the things of God. And that was a means of bringing revival into the land. You think of the idolatry that was there, and there was an opening again of the house of the Lord. And as the house of God was opened again, it brought about a revival. The house of God had been shut. The word of God had been closed for many years. And yet now there comes about an opening up again of the house of God. And as they get back into the house of God, as God's word is opened up afresh, then there is something of a revival that takes place in the land. The people turn away from their idolatry and their false worship and their materialism, and they begin to again turn to the God of heaven. And surely as we would seek to get back to our buildings again, as we'd seek to come back to worship the Lord here in the church building here in Crossgar, we would pray that it would be a catalyst, it would be a means by which men and women are drawn back to the Lord. As we open up the doors, as the doors were opened in the days of Josiah, that God would use this as a means of bringing about a mighty revival from on high. That the people, maybe those that are tuning in today, those that have been listening, those of you that have been maybe listening into the meetings over the last number of weeks of the lockdown, you're not normally here, you haven't been in attendance at the church here in Crossgar before the lockdown, but maybe this would be your opportunity to come along and join with us. It may be strange to you at first. It's going to be strange for every one of us because it's going to be different from what we're normally used to and what we normally expect. But nevertheless, come along and join with us. We want to see God step in mighty revival as the doors of the church are opened again. And we want to look then at this day, young Josiah, when God began to step into the nation, when the doors of God's house were reopened. And I want you to look at what we can learn from the situation here in 2 Kings 22 and in 2 Chronicles 34. And there are a number of things just about young Josiah here that I want you to take note of. And the first thing that I would like you to see is the righteousness he displayed. It says in 2 Kings chapter 22, which is the parallel account to the one that we read this morning, it says that Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, what a testimony that was. And when it says that he did that which was right, it means that he was righteous. Now, of course, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. And we wonder how that can be, that he did that which was right. Well, none of us can do that which is right. There is none righteous. But it means that he stood upon the righteousness of the Savior. Now, by this time, or at this time, the Savior had not come in his incarnation. He had not been born upon earth. But he was still the mighty God of heaven from all eternity. And we trust in his righteousness. All the ceremonial of the Old Testament points forward to what our Savior would do on the cross of Calvary. And all our righteousness is founded in Christ. He is the one who lived a life of righteousness and went to the cross and bore our sins in his own body in the tree. But I want you to see what it says about Josiah in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And look at verse 3. It says that, for in the 8th year of his reign, when he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. In the 8th year of his reign, when he was 16 years of age, he began to seek after God. Now there is where his righteousness comes from. It's not from himself, or what he was, or what he had done, or what he was going to do. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that here we have a seeking young man. The word seek there in the text is a word that tells us that he applied his heart to finding the Lord. It wasn't just that he did it in a cursory way. But here's a man who, with all his heart, with diligence, sought the Lord. You know, it tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, we have the promise of God. It says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And you know, in seeking the Lord, Josiah found the Lord. He found the Lord to be his righteousness. He found the Lord to be his blessing. He found the Lord to be his peace. He found the Lord to be his joy. And dear friend, it'll be the same with you. You need to seek the Lord. Not only did he seek the Lord, but you'll find that he obeyed the Lord. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and look at verse 31. We're told there that he kept the commandments of God, and it says that the king stood in the place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul. With all his heart and with all his soul. And you know, that's a wonderful thing. Here is a young man, 16, a teenager, and he is willing to take a vow. He's so serious about this that he wants to do it with all his heart and with all his soul. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5 and 5, it is better not to vow than to vow and not pay. But here's a young man who is with great determination, willing and ready to do this with a whole heart and with a whole soul. Dr. Adoniram Judson was a famous missionary in Burma. And he wrote a letter to his colleagues in 1842. And this is the part of what he wrote. He says, and I quote, "Resolved to make the desire to please Christ the grand motive of my actions." Now, what a wonderful resolution that was. Another missionary named Stanley Smith, who went with C.T. Studd to China at the end of the end of the 19th century, said that he, as a young man, decided to give up all in order to seek God and to do God's will. Now, he had a brilliant career to look forward to. He was the stroke of the Cambridge University rowing team in 1882. It was also said of him that he was a brilliant orator. He could have made his mark in politics or in the civil service or on the speaking circuit. But he, at the call of God, financed himself to go out to China and to seek to do what he could for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we need more young people like that today who are willing to maybe give up a career, give up fame, give up what might be a promising path of life in order to give your all, to seek to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder, would you do that? Here was Josiah, and he wanted to go through with God. To give us all for God. And I tell you, dear young person, older person today, that if you give your all for God, then it'll not be a waste of time. It'll not be a waste of your life. Because a life given for God is a life of blessing. But I want you to see that here's a young man who sought the Lord. He came and he called upon the name of the Lord and he pledged in covenant that he would worship the Lord his God. And I want you to see the righteousness that he displayed. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to see the reformation he promoted. Look at what it says in verses 3 to 5 of 2 Chronicles chapter 34. It says, for in the eighth year, verses 3 to 5, for in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and from the groves and the carved images and the molten images, and they break down the altars of Baalim in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that are sacrificed unto them. And he burned the bones of priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. So he carried out this policy of ridding the land of all the idols. Some would say, well, he should have been more tolerant, and that he should allow these things, and we need tolerance in these days of other religions. But you know, we think of the truth of the exclusiveness and the uniqueness of our religion. Christ is the only Savior. Christ is the only one. We worship our God, and it is idolatry, and it is wrong to worship any other. You know, we think of the religions of this world, and some of them have this philosophy behind them, but it's always a philosophy of works. It's always what you have to do. But my Savior died on the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood, and he's done all that needs to be done in order to save. Many of the world's religions, you think of Islam, it's a religion that has gained power by the sword. It has invaded places. It has done violence to people. It has its doctrine of jihad. But we think of how this religion that we preach is a religion of the book. It's through the preaching of the word. It's by the turning of hearts that men and women have been turned. And I want you to see that Josiah here seeks to rid the land of the idolatry. And we think of how God had said to the children of Israel when they came into the land of promise. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 17 and 18, it says, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And then gives the reason that they teach you not to do after all their abominations which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. It's because of the infection of sin. It's because of the virus of sin and idolatry that we need to have nothing to do with it. God calls for separation. God calls us to separation from these things. And we need to have that repentance, a turning away from the idolatry of our hearts. Whatever it is that's holding you today. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we notice the Reformation he promoted. But there's a third thing here, and that's the record he recovered. And this is something that we need to see, that in the eighth year of his reign, they went into the temple, which had been closed. The temple had been closed in the days of his father Ammon. And the king now sent the servants into the temple to clean out the temple and to try and find the parts of the temple furniture and so on, clear out the dust and the rubbish that was there. And in the midst of that, they found a copy of the Law of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, the Law. And they found the part of that, the book of Deuteronomy. And we read that they took the word of God and they brought it to the king. And they began to read the word of God to the king. Now, this had a dramatic effect. Here is the opening again of the house of God. They could begin to open up the temple of God that had been shut, and in the temple, what they find is the law of God, the word of God. And they take the word of God, and as the word of God is applied, it has a dramatic effect upon the king and upon those that are with him. And dear friend, we need an opening of the house of God, not only physically, but it needs to be that there are those that will come to hear the word of God. Because in the house of God, there needs to be preaching the word of God, not philosophy, not what I think or anybody else thinks, but we need to come to the word of God. This Bible is precious. I remember hearing a story about somebody who had gone up into their attic and they had found some old, dusty, ancient books. And they had taken them and they had thrown them in the dump. And afterwards, they were describing these old books that they'd found, this old rubbish, to somebody else. And they said, there was a big old book there, old, dry and dusty and sort of a leather, but it was hanging apart a wee bit. And they said it was printed by somebody called Gutten, something German. The friend says to them, wouldn't happen to be Gutenberg. That's it, yes, Gutenberg. They said, but you know that Gutenberg printed the first printing, and the first things that he printed were Bibles. Said, you know, that if that was a Gutenberg Bible, it could have been priceless. The friend said to her, nonplussed, she says, the one I had wouldn't have been worth much. Because it was scribbled all over. There was somebody called Martin Luther that had scribbled all over it in the margins, so it wouldn't have been worth much. And you know, sometimes we treat the Bible like that, and you know, the Bible is priceless. It is God's precious word. And sometimes we just treat it in an offhand fashion. I wonder if you've been treating the Word of God like that. Because not only does God's house need to be opened again in our land, but there needs to be the faithful and fearless preaching of the Word, the applying of this Word. And you'll notice that when the Word of God was applied here, that it brought about a sense of repentance. It brought about a sense of mourning. The king and the people realized that they had not kept this word. They had been lax. And you know, the word of God commands us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we need to take heed to that. We need to take heed to what God has said in his word. And there needs to be a turning to God in the midst. And you notice how God preserved his word. There, it seemed as if the word of God is being forgotten. The king and the rest of them had never seen this book of the law before, and yet God had preserved his word, and God has preserved his word, and thank God for the many homes today where the word of God is still there and able to be read. The psalmist said about God's word in Psalm 12 verses 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver is tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You think of the words in Matthew 5 and 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. So here is a remarkable demonstration of the fact that God has preserved his word, and he does that because you and I need to hear it. He does that because it is God's word to you and to me. And it is God's word that will make us wise unto salvation. We see the record that he recovered. But there is something else in this portion of scripture. I want you to consider the revival he saw. Because now that the house of God has been opened, and the Word of God has been found and has been sounded out in the palace again, I want you to see that there is a revival that breaks out. We read that Hilkiah handed the book of the law to Shaphan without note and comment. They read the book of the law and they had the word of God in its purest state. And Josiah heard the word of God and he rent his clothes, and that speaks of repentance. And immediately he's concerned for Judah and for the land, that they have not heeded this word, that they have not been doing what God wanted them to do. And with tender hearts, they go to the prophet and they come in true contrition and they get down on their knees and they repent of their sins and they turn to God. Not only did they hear the word of God, but they let the word of God make a difference. And you notice what Josiah says in verse 22. It says, Josiah said, "Go inquire of the Lord for me." The word of God led him to inquire of the Lord. And then you'll notice that he sought the Lord in worship. In chapter 35 and verse 1 it says, "Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, and he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord." So once again, the house of God now is fully opened up. The priests are there. The worship of God is taking place again. And surely here we see this love of worship. And when we have a love for worship, that leads to revival. I hope that God's people, that as you've been away from the house of God, that you have begun to appreciate what you have been missing. Now, you've had it over the internet and so on. But it's not the same. You know it's not the same as coming together to worship and to be together around the Word of God. You know, we read about the Lord Jesus, that as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And I want to remind you that that should be your custom, to go into the house of God on the Sabbath day. In the morning, in the evening, the whole day is the Lord's. On the Sabbath day, let's go to worship our God and to seek him with all our hearts. We need to see that in our land afresh. Not the half-heartedness, not just the going through the ritual, going through the habit of it, but actually come and to worship our God and get down on our knees and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Look at the resolution he showed. It says in 2 Kings 22 and verse 2, "He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left." Josiah was not for turning. He plowed a straight furrow. He put his hand to the plow, as it were, and he wasn't going to turn back. And of course, that's the type of Christian that we need in this day. There are many who are turning into bypath metal. There are many who are turning to the worldly things and to the worldly entertainments and to the a kind of hybrid Christianity that you have today. And there is many that are bringing in the false doctrines. But we need to plow the straight furrow. We need to hold on. You know what the Word of God says? It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And I want you to see how it is interesting that Josiah based his steadfastness really on looking to the cross. If you look at chapter 35, and if you look at verse 1, look at what it says. "Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month." And the Passover, of course, is a type of the cross, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And at the Passover, the blood of the Lamb was shed. So his steadfastness really is based upon looking to the cross. And we look unto Jesus today, the author and finisher of our faith. But one more thing I want you to see, and really this is a sad thing. Look at the ruin he experienced. 2 Chronicles chapter 35 tells us about Josiah's death. And I want you to look at chapter 35 and look at verse 20. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. And then let me read you what happened. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, "What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah?" He says here in the portion of scripture, "I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste, forbear thee from meddling with God who is with me, that he destroy thee not." Now, I want you to notice that obviously here, this is a mysterious thing, but Pharaoh obviously has been given a message from God to give to Josiah. And it says in verse 22, "Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight against him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, 'Have me away, for I am sore wounded.' His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died." Now, this is the mysterious thing. The word of God has come from Necho, this heathen king. But nevertheless, that's what we read here. But I want you to see how at the end of his life, a man who has turned to God, turned his land to God, turned to the word of God, and yet at the end of his life, he fails to listen to the word of God. And as a result, he loses his life. He loses his life. And you know, it's not just how we start. He is a young man, 16 years of age. Starts out so well. Begins to serve God. Full of zeal. Full of zeal for the things of God. Rids the temple of the filth and all that was in it. Takes out the word of God. Listens to the words of God. Heeds the words of God. Follows the words of God. And then, right at the end of his life, in the thing that he's been strong in, following the word of God, he fails. And you know, that is a word to us that are older today. You know, in your younger day, you were full of zeal. In your younger day, you loved the house of God. In your younger day, you were dedicated to the things of God, and to the house of God, and to the worship of God, and to the proclamation of God. But you know, as time has gone on, and age has begun to set in, I wonder, has your zeal begun to wane? I wonder if you're listening to the word of God in the same way that you did when you were younger. I wonder, is your desire to follow God the same as it was when you were younger? Now there's where we need to get back. There's where we need revival. Oh, that God would speak to us today. And not only when we come back and open up the house of God again, may the pews be filled, but may our hearts be filled with a new zeal for God, a new desire to worship Him and to follow Him with all our hearts. May God enable us to do that, and may He speak to us today for His name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we recognize the solemnity of Thy word today. We recognize that young Josiah started out well, and as the house of God was opened, we thank Thee for the fact that there was an opening of hearts. But Lord, we think of how at the end of his life, he failed. O God, keep us from failing at the end of our lives. And we pray that thou wouldst keep us steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Draw near to us now, part us in thy fear and with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.